Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Yeah, they're open. And they're the place to go. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. The pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Although Buhner does like garlic, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motor Studio, which, by the way, is going to be the home of the Penn State football show on the 18th of this month. Sunbury Motor Studio, going to get utilized for a network purpose. Again. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf with the best service department around. Time now for our play-by-play archives. We go back, and you probably saw some of it last night. If you had a chance to watch the replay of the USC-Texas game 2006, Vince Young to the house, the final touchdown, called in the illustrious career of Keith Jackson.
Fourth and five, the national championship on the line right here. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Vince Young scores.
And that is one of the great moments in college football. And that is a great announcer going out on top. Keith Jackson. All right, Sandy Barber, Penn State's Vice President for Intercollegiate Athletics, had a chance in a Zoom teleconference to meet with the media yesterday. Many interesting questions, many interesting answers.
It's not about cutting short student opportunities. This was actually about protecting them. And I think that that's really, really well said. But we've also, the fact that Penn State and Penn State Intercollegiate Athletics has a very strong set of values and longstanding. This is nothing new for Penn State. I think has really served us well. Many of the decisions that we've had to make and had to make quickly have been the execution may not have been easy, but what we needed to do has been. Because we based it on our values and moved forward relatively quickly. As I've already said, the priority in every aspect of what we're doing and what we're focused on right now is the health and safety and wellness of first and foremost students, and then certainly our staff, our intercollegiate athletics one team, and then certainly our community as well. So we are focused in everything we are doing as a department on making sure that our students who are now learning remotely, being taught remotely, that they have all the conditions for success that they need, both academically as well as athletically, to the degree that we can in this remote situation. We're very pleased and supportive that the NCAA has extended the eligibility of our spring sport student athletes, and we are certainly going to support that throughout our spring sport portfolio. Obviously disappointed that our winter and spring sport seasons were cut short at various different points in time. Frankly, disappointed that our fall sports, who were headed into a variety of different spring activities, that those were cut short, that all of our students don't have the opportunity right now to do what it is they love from an athletics pursuit standpoint. But certainly, in that moment, a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, actually 3 weeks ago today, obviously our student athletes were crushed. And whether you want to talk about athletics administration or coaches or throughout the university, or also including obviously our community, our alumni, our donors, our fans, our ticket holders, we're all heartbroken and continue to be for those lost opportunities. You know, our winter sports were poised to have an incredible postseason across the board. So many things those young men and young women gave us such a great winter, and we were poised to have a great postseason. And we'll hold on to the memories of those seasons and celebrate them in the right way. And obviously, we had a number of our spring sports who we had high hopes for. So we're one of the things that we're doing is looking at how, whether it's virtually or ultimately in person, how we celebrate and honor not only our seniors who won't be back, some of whom won't be back with us, but all of our student athletes and all of our teams for what was, even in a shortened manner, was an incredible year. So with that, I'll let Chris take it over and take questions.
First one is from Nubias Wilborn. If I can get him actually unmuted, not seeming to want to work right now. From the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
You are unmuted.
IFB.
You are muted.
I thought.
Oh, hello?
There you go, Nubias. So go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess a two-part question. One, have you guys set up a plan for football in particular to cover, if, heaven forbid, there are any games, to cover the workers, and what have you done to kind of cover workers that have missed for spring games like volleyball and things of that nature?
Yeah, so our president, Dr. Barron, addressed that holistically for the entirety of the university, and that was that that all employees at the university, there is a way to cover our wage payroll, which I think are the kinds of workers that you're talking about for our event, that they are guaranteed their pay through April 30th. So as a university, we've made that decision and are certainly helping all of our employees in that way.
Next question is from Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror.
Hi, Sandy. Thanks for taking the time to do this.
Absolutely, Sandy.
Sandy, what is your feeling right now on whether there will be a college football season? And if so, might it be pushed back to some degree or even shortened?
Yeah, so Corey, really, I mean, right now, we don't have those answers in terms of when. And so what we're doing is we're spending our time, number one, on the things that we do know, things that we have certainty around. And then we are also looking at all the analytics, talking to all the experts that we have at our disposal to understand whatever the timing is, what are our time frames? What do we need for safe and healthy return to play for student athletes? Not in terms of exact dates, but in terms of time frames. How long do we need for our fall sports to come in and restore fitness, and then obviously health and safety to return to play? We also know that those decisions about what the point in time will be will obviously be guided by health and safety. We hope that's sooner than later, but the work that we're doing will prepare us for whenever that is, whenever that date is, that we then know what kind of ramp-up we need, how we might fit a football season, a volleyball season, or whatever season it is, into a time frame. We're looking at, no matter when that is, how we get those seasons in, and obviously from a revenue standpoint, football is, you've always heard me talk about that we're not a football school, we're an excellence school, that we embrace excellence across all 31 of our programs. But clearly, football drives the train from a financial standpoint, and so we're looking at whenever we get the all clear, how do we put the football season in?
Josh Moyer, Center Daily Times.
It's Sandy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm very energized by all the challenges here. We engaged with almost 400 of our ICA employees yesterday via Zoom, obviously learning a lot of technology. Also had an all-student Zoom with them yesterday. Other than desperately needing a haircut, I'm doing great, Josh. How about yourself?
No haircut needed, thankfully.
Yeah, could have called that one.
But I do have a two-part question here, Sandy. You alluded to it earlier, but President Eric Barron announced last week that future furloughs and layoffs are not off the table for the athletic department, which can sometimes be insulated from those things. Does that also hold true? And will you be taking a similar approach to Iowa State by asking your coaches to take a temporary pay cut or taking a pay cut yourself to reduce payroll?
Yeah, so we've taken this in two buckets, if you will. And I talked about it before, kind of the known and the unknown. We've spent the better part of the last couple of weeks making sure that we fully understood fiscal year 20 and what our shortfalls might be from a revenue standpoint. Some of those have been well documented from a conference level. And then also looking at our own, closer to home, both expense and revenue. So we feel like we've got a good handle on that. And thanks to some expense savings that we obviously will have from not recruiting, from not having events here in the spring, and the fact that we have over the course of the last 5 years built up our reserve so that we do have, I wouldn't call it robust, but it's certainly an adequate reserve. We're going to be in good shape for fiscal year 20. So then you move into the unknown as it relates to 2021, and certainly we're doing all the analysis so that we're prepared. We're doing some scenario planning so that we're prepared. But at this point, we're in decent shape coming out of 20.
Rich Scarcella, Red Eagle.
Hi, Sandy. I'm glad to hear that you're doing well.
Thanks, Rich.
I touched on the financial ramifications, and I was just wondering, if the football season is not played this year, is there a possibility that a sport or sports would be dropped? Does that exist? And also, secondly, from a personal standpoint, would you be in favor or would you be okay with playing football games in an empty stadium?
So let me handle the first one first. And actually, it's a question I got from our student athletes last night. And obviously, that's in response to everybody kind of going to doomsday. Whether or not we would have the opportunity from a revenue standpoint to access the revenues that come to us primarily from football, but we have several other sports at Penn State that obviously bring us some revenue, but not of that magnitude. And my answer was a little bit how I've already answered some of these questions. Obviously, that's the unknown. But, our 31 programs and 800-plus student-athletes is really, it's in our DNA. It's part of who we are. And that is certainly not something that we're looking at right now. But we do have, we do continue to have a lot of unknowns around what the financial situation would be with some of these things. And so those are all things that we're looking at scenario planning and looking at what steps we might need to take. But I think that our primary focus is on holding this, holding our 31 programs or 800 plus student athletes together, and finding a way as Penn Staters and as a Penn State community to come through this on the other side. And then, Rich, what was your second question? I'm sorry.
That's okay. Would you be in favor or opposed to playing football games in empty stadiums?
Yeah, obviously it's not the ideal. It's not what you want to do. But it also just depends on what our choices are. What are the scenarios that we're faced with? I'll go back to kind of one of our major principles, and that is we're not coming back to campus, whether it's students or whether it's student athletes. They're not coming back to campus until it's safe and healthy and prudent to do so. So I'm not sure whether a situation where it's not wise or prudent to have folks in the stands marries up with it's okay to have students back on campus.
Mike Gross, Lancaster Newspapers.
Hi, Sandy. I think your hair looks fabulous, by the way.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
Have you heard anything from NCAA or from Big Ten or anybody about, for example, if you extend eligibility, do you increase the rosters? Is football going to be able to, let's say, practice in July? There's lots of logistical things like that anybody could think of. Where are you at with that, and what have you heard about that?
Yeah, there are only about 10,000 of those, Mike, right? most of our correspondence with the NCAA is through the Big Ten, and I'll put in a plug for our new commissioner, Kevin Warren, and his staff. They're doing a fabulous job of helping us navigate this. We convene as a Big Ten Athletics Directors Group every morning, obviously on the phone. They've been terrific, and so we're getting most of our NCAA information and NCAA guidance through the Big Ten. But your question was about the spring sport eligibility extension, and the NCAA Council. Again, those are members. Those are athletic directors and faculty reps and senior women's administrators and presidents. They made the decision to extend the spring sports eligibility for all those, and then they gave us the guidance around what we're supposed to do from a financial aid standpoint. So that's already been done. Obviously, should this continue, then we'll need to continue to make additional decisions about what to do with future seasons. I think we're all collectively doing about the same thing as it relates to scenario planning and just making sure in a very uncertain environment. We stopped very quickly saying, okay, well, what if May 1? What if June 1? What if July 1? What if, you know, whatever it is, and started looking at what's the runway we need, how much time, so that we know when it's safe and healthy to do so. We know we need 60 days. We know we need this time frame, and then we can look at how to fit in what it is we want to do into that time frame.
Greg Pickle, Penn Live.
Hi, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm good, Greg. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Coach Sanderson came out on social media, I believe it was yesterday, in favor of something that didn't happen, which is winter sports student athletes getting another year of eligibility as well. Do you plan to push the NCAA for that, or do you think that they made the decision on the spring sports and that's kind of that at this point?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, look, you know, this is really, really hard for these young men and young women, and Coach Sanderson obviously was standing up for his guys and his sport. When the NCAA Council made the decision that they did on, well, actually, when they made the announcement on March 12th, I think it was either the 12th or the 13th, You know, they said we believe that spring sport student athletes fit the standard or already existing waiver requirement that we have, and we're going to look at the details of what that might be. And at the same time, they said we will look at whether or not winter sports also fit that standard criteria. Ultimately, when they made their decision on Monday, they made a decision that winter sports did not. And you know, that's certainly disappointing to the young men and young women in our winter sports. But you know, we're at Penn State, we're always about students and always about opportunities. But I don't know that the NCAA or the NCAA Council will further examine that.
Okay, that's Sandy Barber, Vice President for Intercollegiate Athletics at Penn State. And we'll finish up with her Zoom teleconference in the next half hour, followed by the King, who will not be X'd out for anybody. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet. They're open Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports some Essex Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, plenty of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day in the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Although Buhner does like the garlic. Indeed, second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And don't forget about the great service department they have at Sunbury Motors. All right, more of Sandy Barber, just a few final comments from her, then the King here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We are going to Ben Jones, statecollege.com.
Hey, Sandy, how's it going?
Good, Ben.
Penn State and State College are obviously different governing bodies, but there's sort of a relationship there in terms of what they provide for each other. If a football season doesn't happen, or even already, to what degree do you see State College as sort of a partner in getting through all of this? And if football doesn't happen, what do you think that you can kind of do together to get through all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing you just said is partner and partnership. I mean, there's a symbiosis here between the university and the community in ways way beyond athletics. Certainly athletics is a big part of it, and football is a big part of that, but it is truly a partnership. It's a partnership around, you know, close to 40,000 students who, when we're when we're fully populated, that, you know, those students are a big part of this community. So that, you know, that's just another reason why we're going to do absolutely everything we can to have a football season in some way, shape, or form. And that's, you know, we're going to do it And I know I sound like a broken record, but it's really, really important that it's clear where we're taking our advice from, which is from the experts and from a medical perspective. And when it's time to do so, when it's safe to do so, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it in a big way.
Nate Bauer, Blue 8 Illustrated.
Hey, Sandy. How are you?
I'm good, Nate. What, you've lost your tan. What's going on?
Never had one. Anyway. A couple of weeks ago, Patrick Chambers acknowledged that he's looking for a contract extension. I think he has 2 years left on the deal. Is that something that you can move forward with? Is that, you know, do you have to put those things on hold and maybe even beyond him? Are all of those situations something that you have to put on hold? And how does that affect their ability to recruit moving forward?
Yeah, we were... Pat and his representative, we were in that conversation before this happened. So we've continued that conversation as well as a number of the other conversations that we were in the middle of. Now certainly some of the institutional wide positions and obviously again the unknown. Do limit us in some of the things we're going to do, but there's business that needs to continue as well.
Bill Bowman, CNHI, Pennsylvania.
Sorry about that. I had my own phone muted as well. How frustrating on sort of a micro level is it for you personally? I hear you harp on the words unknown and scenarios and things like that. I mean, and it's all sort of precursored on you just there's so many more unknowns outside of your control. Do you even have an idea of when you're going to be able to wrap your head around when you start that runway that you talked about?
First of all, Bill, you know when you're dealing with athletic departments and coaches and athletics administrators, we're all used to exerting the maximum amount of control possibly can, and obviously this situation has really turned that on its head. I'll tell you, I'm not frustrated at all because we've focused on keeping our people together, keeping our people engaged. In the first couple of weeks, we had calls with our head coaches every day. We had calls with our management team every day. Our campus leadership, Eric Barron, Nick Jones, our provost, David Gray, our senior vice president, CFO, have been just fabulous. I serve on the university's task force, and we are laser focused on making sure our students have what they need, and that was really heavy lifting. From the beginning, I give all the credit in the world to our faculty who turned on a dime and went to remote teaching and remote learning, and that it certainly didn't go off without any hitches, but went off without very, very few, and a lot of people working behind the scenes really hard to make that happen. So we've been, we've been going 12 hours a day I've never talked so much in my life, and you guys know I like to talk, so that's a big deal. We've been focused on making sure those in our care have what they need and are connected. Obviously, mental health is a huge, huge challenge in our society today anyway, and as now everybody is away from each other, we've paid special attention to making sure that we're in touch with everybody in our department. Our coaches have done a phenomenal job of staying in touch with their student athletes, with engaging them. That's what we're focused on. And then obviously behind the scenes, we're doing a lot of the financial analysis. We're making sure that we're scenario planning and that we're prepared for whatever gets thrown our way. I mean, I think that's our job as leaders to make sure that that we're prepared to do the very, very best we can.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right, great to have you with us. All right, we are joined by the king, who was, I believe, now moved.
Yeah, I moved, but I'm at Studio 22 right now. I'm
in
South Windsor. I'm not in stores. I listened to the press conference. That was fascinating. So.
Yes. Was fascinating.
Yeah.
Very informative.
Me and Matt were talking before, a couple minutes ago. It's hard to even consider a stadium full of people.
I take everything a step at a time.
Yeah.
So thinking a lot about September, you know, I think getting through this step is important. Then once we get through this step, then we'll see what the next step is supposed to be.
It's weird, huh? I'm sure
yes,
it's weird
is.
There. Matt said you guys get ordered to wear masks everywhere. So, hey, they do it
well,
in Asia.
I think it's been suggested. I don't think it's been ordered, has it, Matt? I think it's a strong suggestion.
It's just exactly right. Strong suggestion.
Yeah, that's what our governor did. I mean, they do it in Asia. You know, if everybody wears them, isn't that something we probably should have been doing a month ago? You know, if everybody wears it, it's no big deal, you know. People get into designer ones and, you know, bandanas and, you know, cool ones and see-through ones, you know.
Lisa's actually making me an Eagles mask that I'll be donning starting tomorrow.
You know, it would be kind of cool. Who's got the coolest mask? I mean, I don't... Yeah. Anything to change the way things are now. I'll do anything they want. I don't... My business has not been hurt by it because we do work for the government, so we were allowed to stay open. But... You know, will we get paid for any of it? I don't know.
Right.
And now the rumor is shutting down for 2 weeks completely, you know, shutting everybody down. So that they're going to close everything. I don't know.
Like I said, we'll take it a step at a time.
Yeah.
And that's all I do. I just take it one step at a time. We're in the current step right now. And we'll see what the news brings.
I think right now, be fortunate that you're healthy and don't have it. So that's feel really sad for that. We had a little baby die here, seven weeks old. Yeah,
I read that.
Absolutely awful. So
yeah.
Well, why don't we cheer things up?
Let's do some trivia here.
Yeah. So, all right. I got some good ones. A good one,
oh,
Matt?
You do.
I do, actually. I think I actually pretty do this time. These are my best three, I think, since we've started this.
It's fun looking for them. So,
oh,
okay.
You guys look for them. Okay.
You have them in your head. I don't.
Okay.
I got a couple in my head, but I've already used them. So.
All right, let's let it rip here.
Who's up?
Kev, you start things off.
Okay. Yeah, this one's probably too easy, but what player holds the NBA record for the most missed shots?
The NBA record for the most missed shots?
Kwame Brown.
No. Kwame Brown. I'm going to say Will Chamberlain.
No. Kobe Bryant.
Oh.
14,481.
Well, that makes sense because he took a ton of shots.
Yeah, he took lots of shots.
He also, played 20 years.
It was his competitive nature to just, you know, and he made a lot more than he missed. But
yeah, yeah. He also played 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
See, I picked Chamberlain.
Some of those
I picked
years,
Chamberlain.
He was the only guy in the court. So,
I picked Chamberlain because, for that reason, because he took a lot of shots.
Yeah. So he was expected to. He did his job. So.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
When he was drafted, he was the third overall pick in the NBA draft. The first pick was Hakeem Olajuwon, who went to the Houston Rockets. Who was the second pick?
Sam Perkins.
Matt?
Yeah, I'm going to say I have to say Sam Perkins, too.
Sam Bowie.
Oh.
Oh, I knew it was a Sam.
University of Kentucky, but also from Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
Oh, there you go. My old stomping grounds. I used to work down in Lebanon.
Wow.
There you go.
Good question. I knew it was a... Because I knew the answer. Because when Matt asked last week, whatever, what was Michael Jordan's first choice, and I had read it then, so...
Yeah.
All right, I'm sticking to the NBA. Which NBA player broke the record for most points scored during the first three starts of his career in 2012?
Ooh.
You got to think carefully about this one.
I'm going to say Steph Curry.
It's the first three starts of his career?
Yep, to the first three starts of his career in 2012.
What a boot in the butt.
This guy was a complete sensation, and then he dropped off the face of the earth.
I have no idea. I'll go with Jeremy Lin.
That is correct.
Oh, wow.
Jeremy Lin.
Thank you. From Harvard.
Wow, be darned. Okay. What do the five interlocking rings on the Olympic flag represent?
Oh.
They represent all the colors of every flag on the planet.
That's close, but on Jeopardy, they'd say no. Matt?
Isn't it the continents?
Yes. Ding, 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 ding.
I have to give Mark Lindau, who's training with me, credit for that one.
Cool. Good answer, Matt. Steve-O.
Oh, I got to do another one?
Yeah.
When Carlton Fisk hit his home run in Game 6 of the 75 World Series against the Reds, who did he hit it off of?
I got nothing.
At least an honest answer.
against the Reds. Tom Seaver.
Pat Dorsey.
No, never would have got it.
Pat Dorsey? I was thinking
of another guy who pitched with Rob Dibble.
Yeah.
Good question, Matt.
All right, I'm moving to golf. What term is used in describing a situation where a golfer scores 8 on a hole?
You stink.
Ouch.
And this I didn't know until I found this question. I didn't know that this was such a thing.
I don't know.
Well, if it's a par 5, it's a triple
Steve,
bogey.
Steve, you should know this.
like the back of my hand. I usually just say, that stunk, and I move on. Like, darn it. or the positive view. At least it wasn't 9.
Or you can't say what you say on the air. Oh.
Yeah. The correct answer was snowman.
Okay.
Oh, man.
There was a guy one time, professional golfer, that a lot of people didn't like. And he scored a 12 on a hole. And he's in the locker room. And again, he's not popular. And he's complaining and whining and moaning about his 12. Some guy walks up to him. He says, you know what? He says, half the guys in this locker room could give a darn that you scored a 12. The other half wish you scored 13.
Who was he?
I'm not going to say who it was.
Okay. Good one, Matt. Snowman.
All right, we got our last round now.
What sport was created as a result of Prohibition?
Beer pong?
This is fascinating.
Yeah, I was actually going to say beer pong myself.
NASCAR.
They were running
Moonlight Whiskey. They were, and that's how NASCAR started.
Oh, that's awesome.
I found that fascinating.
And the cars racing and moving whiskey around.
Do you know how it got its name, NASCAR?
No.
Two guys sitting on the front porch one night. NASCAR.
NASCAR. No way.
No, I'm just kidding. It's a joke. It's not true.
See, I would believe it because I'm gullible. Well, all other people.
Not true.
Hey, did you know this? Oh, wow.
All right, did you have one more, Steve?
Yeah. What NFL team drafted Joe Namath?
Wasn't it the Baltimore Colts?
No.
I'm going to say the Jets.
Nope, the NFL team that drafted him was the St. Louis Cardinals.
Ooh. Oh, that's right. He was in the AFL. That's right. Yep.
And the Cardinals were like, gave him some nominal placement contract. He and his agent looked at him like, please, really? This group over here is offering $400,000.
Wow, good question. This is fun. Everyone stay safe.
You too.
Talk to you next week.
All righty. See you, Kev.
All right. Bye,
Today's
guys.
Show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket. They are open. And we are in the Sunbury Motors Studio.